You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Okay, Tim Collins and I solved basically the main problems of the world on this episode with what I think is a great business idea. Solves all the problems of student loan debt, solves really any kind of debt, might solve inflation. I'd love to know what you think of it. And also, we have a call for participants in this episode. So here we go, the ultimate business idea that solves every problem in the world.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show.
Tim, let me ask you a question. With these runes, Ben was saying you can make a meme coin like Dogecoin with these, I guess, on the Bitcoin blockchain with these runes. Right now, I can make a meme coin in seconds using Solana, for instance.
There's right, like you could go to pump.fun and spin one up quickly and throw it out there and hope that you hit the bonding curve and you get funding and you hit the $70,000 market cap that you need to launch and go at it. Of course, it might take you 15 or 20 or 30 tries to make that happen, and chances are it's going to be liquidated as quickly as you make it. So yeah, you can.
What do you mean liquidated?
Basically, everybody that went in the bonding curve that gave you the money ends up selling their tokens as quickly as possible on any pump, if you will, or any push higher in value and look to get out. I mean, I follow that stuff every day, and I just watch them in 15 minutes go up and down, up and straight back down to zero.
So like an example is Dogecoin is a meme coin. So it's a coin that really has no value, no fun, no utility. There's no use case for it.
Oh, you can buy a Tesla with it, remember?
Right. Well, that's just it. Like because Elon Musk has sort of blessed Dogecoin and ended up having value. Like, did the founders of Dogecoin make like $1 billion each?
I have no idea how much they made, but usually on founders, you know, you're keeping some back for the team. You know, you're going to burn whatever you burn out of you're going to burn your LP or you're going to invest it. And most of the earlier guys, they vested as opposed to burn, which is a much better way to go because then you can sell in the future instead of just destroying. But with meme coins, I mean, meme coins, the same thing. All the value comes down to cultural values, you know, kind of social value, comedic value. Come on, you should understand that as a comedian. But with runes, the difference is like BRC20s aren't nearly as efficient and it becomes clunky. They take space. They're more expensive, overall to be in existence. Runes is using the same UTXO. And again, this is a little bit above my technical knowledge, but it's using the same idea as what we saw in Ordinals, where there's this discovery of, hey, you can create tokens out of this. And not only can you create tokens in a single transaction, you can include multiple tokens, and you can define how many tokens of the James coin I want on this, and the Tim coin, and the J coin, and the Ben coin, and I can put these all on there together, or I can have them individualized, and I can send a portion of the coins, or I can send a lot. There's going to be a learning curve on this, though, because if you do something wrong at the beginning when you're setting it up, poof, it's just gone. And there's no getting it back. Whereas with other coins, if when you're creating them, if you make a mistake, you get a failed transaction. In this case, your failed transaction means it just goes away. It's gone. And it's like, hey, thanks for trying, but there's no coin now.
Were you telling me, I think it was you who was telling me about some investor that you had worked with on some project where it was basically a kid who had made $30 million on some meme coin.
So yeah, there was, it was actually a venture capitalist, and it was a teenager that made almost $35 million. And that was back during a little bit more during the ICO boom and into the meme coins. I mean, just recently I've seen people that I know that I've met once or twice in real life that are really good about posting their trades online. And it was the Emperor coin that came out, and that had been linked to a prior NFT project. And they actually did a really, really unique drop in that everybody that had been involved in the NFT projects received some of the token. Well, the token took off and went from virtually, starting at zero up to, I want to say, $18 or $20. And there were people that jumped in it when it first came out. And the market cap was virtually nothing. And the market cap, I think, peaked around $35 million at the time when it first came out. And they bought into it when the market cap was $50,000 or $20,000. And guys that turned $500 and $700 into hundreds of thousands of dollars in hours. And we've seen that happen. And I think you're going to see some of those opportunities again come up in ruins, especially that the fact that this is going to be so new. One, I'm telling you, there's going to be mistakes. You're going to see hundreds of thousands of dollars at some point just lost because somebody codes it wrong. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Whether it makes public knowledge, I don't know, but it will make its way around the community at some point. And we actually saw that happen with an Ethereum contract on an NFT where they coded it wrong and locked up tens of millions of dollars, and it was locked in the contract. It was in an infinite loop, and nobody's ever gotten that money. It's gone. That's something like that's going to happen again in ruins, but ruins are going to make altcoins, meme coins, and yeah, the terminology shit coins, great again on the Bitcoin blockchain. I mean,
that one that had $35 million in value, was there any utility to it at all? Like, was there any use for it?
No, there hasn't been anything specifically stated. It was linked to a very, very popular Twitter founder who goes by Satoshi on Twitter. And that community was, it's a top 10, some people argue top 5 community in terms of projects wise, very, very vocal community, very supportive. The floor always stayed relatively stable. But yeah, you had, it's that same notion right now. Meme coins run based on the wow factor, the me factor, marketing. I mean, it's all about, it's an attention economy. So what was it, two weeks ago?
I keep thinking, cats. I keep thinking, though, that eventually there's going to be use cases that are unforeseen. So for instance, every company could potentially have their own coin, and Crest toothpaste could have Crest coin. And the idea is as marketing, it's like frequent flyer miles. But the problem with frequent flyer miles is I can't trade American Airlines frequent flyer miles for Delta frequent flyer miles,
right,
or a Starbucks cup of coffee. But when these kind of marketing programs enter the crypto world, they're tradable, and people are going to, once one company does it, every company in that industry is going to have to do it, because those marketing miles or coins are going to be more valuable.
It's closer than you think, because I get pitched a lot of deals, and I hear a lot of deals. And I can tell you that I'm hearing deals that are getting really, really close to this, looking at the loyalty rewards program and ownership in it, transference in it. but it hasn't quite gotten across the line yet. And the reason being, companies haven't bought into it. So while you have, and I'm talking about the big companies, they haven't bought into the idea, Delta doesn't want you trading their miles for American miles.
Delta doesn't, but imagine Uber wants to make rewards points, and they basically want people to buy Uber coin that they then use to, let's say, buy rides at a discount. And drivers are the miners of Uber coin, so they get paid the more rides that they give. Uber would love this because they want to incentivize their drivers to drive, because Uber drivers are very unhappy people in general because of their pay. And, you know, Lyft will, you know, and if Uber makes this tradable for things like Bitcoin and Ethereum, that makes it real money. It makes it like, you know, because then Bitcoin's tradable for Tether and the dollar. So it makes these things valuable in a way that frequent flyer miles never were. And then once Uber does it, of course, Lyft has to immediately do it to compete. And it actually is an interesting mechanism for lowering inflation.
You have Uber Eats as well. And so now all of a sudden, all the restaurants that participate in Uber Eats could take the Uber coin. And again, you get a small discount if you're using that. And you can create that kind of decentralized ecosystem if you do it that way.
In a way, this would prevent or slow the inflation of the US dollar, because you're creating new currencies. So you're crowding out old currencies. You're creating new currencies for specific use cases. Imagine this is an idea I had back when I wrote my article about New York City. But one thing that New York City could have done a couple of years ago is create New York City coin to encourage tourism back to New York City. Like you can basically mine New York City coin as either a store owner or a store customer in Times Square, say, and they're all, it's tradable on exchanges, but it's all redeemable to one New York City coin for $1 in 5 years. It's all redeemable. So you can make almost like a stable coin, but with it's not redeemable for 5 years. So people have 5 years to mine it. And the increase in taxes.
You know what could be fun with the tourist thing is then, hey, you have the coin. Now, if you go visit the Statue of Liberty and you scan this QR code, it'll allow you to stake at the Statue of Liberty for so long. And now, you know, you have anything that charges money. Now, all of a sudden, if I stake there, I can get a little reward for every time somebody goes there and uses the token and spends money there, and you create almost a revenue share. I mean, you could get really creative with this. I think what scares people away right now is regulation is still in the wild, wild west. And so without any rules behind this, like you see all these shit coins launching. And if the SEC, I was actually talking to a mutual friend about all these shit coins. And he was asking me, how is this legal? And I said, well, if the SEC ever actually looks at this, it won't be, because this is just, hey, I'm going to raise capital and, you know, I'm not giving you anything, and it might go to zero. It might not.
There would have to be some difference between like a meme coin, like a shit coin that has no value, and like a marketing coin.
Right. You need to,
because
you need
you're
to
still, you are issuing utility. A security that could buy something. It really is kind of a security.
Correct. But really it's a commodity as opposed to a security. And therefore, because like, look, if I have oil, a barrel of oil, it's considered a commodity, right? But I can exchange that. I can sell that for money. It's one of those things, as I would look at it more like gold, more like oil, as opposed to more like shares of Microsoft or Amazon.
Right. So because I think it doesn't represent ownership.
Right.
Like an Uber coin.
So I think it falls more into CFTC, you know, Commodities Future Trading Commission, as opposed to the SEC, which gives a lot more flexibility.
I guess if I was tokenizing, like let's say, oh, I'm gonna sell off 10% of my next 20 years of future income, and then I issue a million James coins that every year, if you own a James coin, you get literally airdropped 10% of my pro rata 10% of my income, depending on how much.
Actually, you would put that 10% of your income into a liquidity pool. That way people could either sell or not. And what happens is when they sell, you would burn the coin, and then that would reduce the number of coins going forward. And if you made more money the next year, not only does the value increase for those people, but there's less tokens. So it increases even more, and you create a gamification now of somebody making a judgment of, is James going to make more or less next year? Did he cap out this year? Should I cash in or should I hold? And if I know half the people are going to cash in this year, well, now if he makes more next year, I proportionately make more. You know, it becomes algorithmic more.
See, I think that right there, what you said, this solves the student loan debt problem.
It absolutely does. I've been arguing this for like 2 years now, that this is how students should face it, coming out and selling future income and gamifying it. And it could be, it would be a fucking blast overall. It creates a whole insurance industry around just insuring what happens if something happens to this person, if they become disabled, if God forbid they pass away, if they move out of the country and you can no longer collect income from them, you have this whole little insurance pool that you could create, but you gamify it with a 5-year, 10-year, 20-year coin, almost like bonds, and then a redemption process of whenever they sell, you burn, but somebody can hold.
And it's a totally great new asset class, and you could figure out ways to hedge bear markets. For instance, I could invest in students who studied accounting on IRS issues, and that's a good way to hedge against bear markets, because those accountants' incomes go up in bear markets. Bankruptcy attorneys.
I was going to say the bankruptcy attorneys, the life insurance agents, the crypto lawyers. That's who's going to be popular. But you think about it, that could be a phenomenal business opportunity. And then you could also link up with universities and schools, and they could, you know, create some kind of partial scholarship that goes into your liquidity pool after you graduate to give you some support. And I mean, colleges have to get more creative than charging $90,000 a year for tuition. And I think a college that makes a move for this first all of a sudden becomes more attractive to students. And okay, I'm willing to pay a little bit more if I've got $10,000 that gets donated into my liquidity pool when I graduate, because now all of a sudden I can sell tokens and I don't have student loan debt, and it's based on my income. Now, if you look at things now, if I take a loan now and I take an income-based proportion payback, it's like I'm paying the government back and they're getting the interest, as opposed to I could be paying somebody else back and they could get interest in upside instead of the government getting the interest in the upside.
Exactly. And there's motivation. You know, you wake up trying to increase the value of your Tim token, James token, J token, whatever. Why isn't anybody doing this as a business? It's a great idea. Let's do this.
Actually, as we're talking about it, I'm excited about it, going, okay, this has some potential.
You'd have to basically set up a corporate, there's a legal issue. You have to set up a corporation and kind of sign a contract that all of your income, or maybe you just say all of your income as a lawyer. Let's say you go to law school, you graduate, you set up a corporation, and you say you have to agree that all of your income as a lawyer is going to go through this corporation. Then 10% of that corporation is essentially distributed to the holders of James Coin or whatever. Some legal structure has to be set up with dumb contracts, unfortunately.
So, but here's the thing is, if you're dealing with blockchain, I mean, you could theoretically, if you get paid in cryptocurrency, you have a contract that would automatically split the money for you. And 90% comes in as USDC into you, and 10% goes directly into the liquidity pool for the token holders.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have it where the contract, and that's not a complicated contract, that comes in and it auto splits it for you. It's like withholding Social Security tax. You know, I don't get to say it's not going to be taken out before it's taken out. I mean, unless I'm self-employed, but if I'm a W-2 employee, think about it, your Medicare, your Medicaid, your Social Security, it all automatically comes out before the rest of the money goes into your bank account. It's no different than that, except this becomes visible and anybody can verify exactly what you made on chain and they can see it.
And again, it's like an asset class like any other. There's going to be bad investments and good investments.
Yep.
And the good investments are also people, you know, you have a reason to trust these people and so on.
And they have incentive. You would start getting a ranking based on schools of, you know, who's, what majors are making the most amount of money. I mean, you create a whole new market of what majors are making the most amount of money. You know, is the Northeast, the Northwest.
It's like
the
fantasy Southeast. Sports for careers.
That's exactly what that's exactly what's going through my mind is all of a sudden you're creating, you know, oh, this token is going to be worth more if this person's graduating from, you know, University of Michigan and they were in this degree that has a higher likelihood of success. I'm willing to pay a little bit more for that. I mean, it's almost kind of like what Prosper kind of did, but you're really taking it to a decentralized level and you're taking away a reliance on government loans. Yes.
Again, like let's say I invest in Timcoin and for whatever reason, I'm tired of it or I want to now invest in Jcoin instead. Because I know Jay and most other people don't know Jay, and I think he has more upside than Tim.
He does.
Hypothetically, it's fungible. I could sell on any DeFi exchange.
Yes. So, I mean, the big thing would be...
That's the difference with Prosper.
Yeah, you can't. Once you're in the loan, if it looks like it's going bad, you can't cut your losses. Or if, you know, all of a sudden Jay gets a big promotion, you got a bunch of Jay coin, you may say, I'm going to go ahead and roll out now and, you know... I also know that Jay's been hitting the bottle, so yeah, I'm going to roll out. But no, if he gets a big promotion and all of a sudden his income's going up, it's going to start trading at a premium. And you're going to go ahead and say, all right, well, maybe I don't want to wait for all the upside. I'll go ahead and get out now and take part of the upside. And somebody else is going to look at it and say, well, I can buy Jcoin from James a little bit cheaper than, you know, anywhere else in the market. I'm going to go ahead and jump in there because I think his path is even better, or I know it's a slightly below market value. Now there's a whole, and imagine the data that you would pull from that. I mean, the data that you would pull from that would be incredibly valuable as well. If you're, you know, if you're a company in that space,
well, entire industries will spawn out of this to just managing the data, like you said. Which colleges are get the best returns? Which professions and so on.
I mean, if I'm an employer, I'm going to be looking at that too. Where's the most value? Because that person clearly has value, that type of person. So all of a sudden I can look at things. I mean, it becomes a recruitment tool as well. If I'm a company, I'm going to look at Jcoin going way up in value and going, well, he actually works in the industry that I run a company. I need to give this guy a call and see what the hell is going on because his token value keeps going up. I hate to say that you could push Indeed.com out of or the ladders or anything out of business, but you theoretically could because now I just have to go to this marketplace and see whose value is going up to say, I want to solicit them to see if they want to come work for me. Now, yeah, you've got to watch for manipulation, obviously, but if it's a large enough coin, it's going to be very hard to do and you're going to learn very quickly who's manipulating and who's not.
Take a quick break. If you like this episode, I'd really, really appreciate it. It means so much to me. Please share it with your friends and subscribe to the podcast. Email me at altitra@gmail.com and tell me why you subscribed. Thanks. Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period. And I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop, really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So I kind of think we have to do this business. So here's the way I would do this business. I would find one person or 2 people who want to tokenize 10% of their income.
You need to find 8. 8 is the lucky number. Find 8.
All right, we'll find 8 people to tokenize some parts of their future income, like take a lawyer who wants to tokenize 10% of his future income as a lawyer over the next 10 years, and we've got to just do it. And then create the coins and just have somebody buy them and just do it. So this way we grease the wheels. We know how the whole process right. works.
So anybody listening to this podcast, send in your pitch as to why you should be one of the first 8 to go undergo this pilot project.
Tweet us out. I'm Jay Altucher on Twitter. Tim, what's your
at Retro Wall ST. It's short for Retro Wall Street. RetroWallST.
Ah, right. You're Retro Wall Street. That's how we met, right? It's because I was doing every day the blogs of the day that you had, the blog posts of the day, blog watch, I called it.
We met because I worked at the street and you worked at the street.
No, but I was there. I linked to your blog. You had a blog,
you did,
right?
Yes, Retro Wall Street. Yeah.
And that's how I knew you.
Yeah. And then also through Bob, or
yeah, or, yeah. Or then I got to really know you.
Yeah, that's where we really got to know each other.
Yeah.
This would actually, I think this would be, I mean, it's a unique use case for it. It's
extremely useful.
Interesting. Yes. And look, we know the student loan system is broken. We know the student loan system is broken.
But like this would motivate people to get jobs that would pay for their student loans. And then they could borrow from the future income of those jobs to pay down the student loans instantly. And cause you know, not have to be burdened by that. And then they're in the game.
I mean, there's some fine tuning here, but I think there's a lot of potential in doing this. And then you can kind of pick the chain. Where do you want to be? Do you want to be on, you know, a Bitcoin rune? Do you want to be on Solana? Do you want to be on AVAX? I mean, you can kind of go through and look at the different chains. Now, the nice thing with Bitcoin with runes coming up is that is on chain. And if, you know, it's not going away. Not that I think Solana is going to fail, but obviously you get network congestion on Solana. The last week there were a ton of failed transactions because of all these coins have been launching and it got, you know, the system.
I mean, volume's not going to be that.
No,
great.
You're not worried about the volume. You're not worried about the volume of these individual things. You're worried about the volume on the entire network. So the Solana network got a little
50 million students do this, then.
But just other things that happen on the network. So unless you're building your own network for this specifically, you're going to be running on an L2 or something like Bitcoin that already exists. There are other things that happen on that network. And so that network can get congested from those other things. What happened with Solana was it got congested from all the shit coins that were being launched. I mean, I would be watching and there would be times where there were 20 new coins launched in 1 minute. I mean, when OJ passed away, there were a dozen new coins launched within minutes of the announcement of his passing.
OJ Simpson died?
This morning, yes. He did.
No idea. That's incredible.
Yes, O.J. Simpson passed away. I think he was 76 years old. The family said it was from cancer.
Wow.
So what was funny
that
was...
That story is over.
Yeah, that's... well, what I want to know is the truth going to come out now? You know, is somebody that knows something going to come out? But what was funny was... and not funny, but when you look at how people frame things, there were some people, when they announced his passing, the picture that went up was... him in his Buffalo Bills uniform, whereas other ones, it was at his trial. And it was kind of, you know, you look at how the media frame things, it frames it. Do you want to put a picture of him on trial or do you want to put a picture of him playing football? Like, what is he actually known for more? And I think that depends on your age a little bit as to, did you know him as a football player? Did you know him as a...
It's also, what do you want to honor him for? Like, I know him as a Buffalo Bills record-breaking running back, but I also know him as a murderer.
accused murderer.
Accused murderer. All right, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, the court said he was innocent, so who am I to say? So I shouldn't.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say
I'm not an expert, so I don't want to say guilty or innocent because I don't know. I mean, I was not that I was young at the time, but I had
no. I was. I followed that trial. It was 1994. I followed it. You're the same age as me. You followed it.
I was in college at that time. I was drinking. I was a young kid. I was busy being a kid. You followed it, but I followed it from a distance. And shoot, 94. So we were tooling around on AOL on the internet. You know, it was paying $9.99 an hour once you went over your limit or whatever it was.
You had to have a modem.
Yeah. You, the robots died every time you went online with that sound. Anyways, back to the conversation at hand. No, a lot of the things that we see coming down have potential.
Yeah. So
I'm for
literally
you.
Anybody who wants to be part of this, the first 8 people who are part of this will give a small piece of the company if we decide that they should be the first trial. I don't know what you call them, not subjects, but people who tokenize their future income. And
yeah, we need to come up with a catchy name for that. I got to put my marketing hat on for that one.
All right, Tim, but thank you so much for coming on this podcast at such short notice. I really got obsessed with learning more about inscriptions and ordinals, and now runes is added to this. And now, of course, we just as a side effect, we solved the whole student loan debt crisis, and we probably solved inflation along with it.
We could call it the human token fund. Take a page from Seinfeld. Make a donation to the human fund, you know? Old George Costanza.
Maybe human coin. It's basically buying and selling humans. I hate to use that kind of terminology.
No. We got to come up with a better name than that.
You could only sell 10% of your income. There has to be a max. Of course, then there's a little competition that companies will say you can sell. Oh, here's a company you can sell 100%. But so there's probably some right number there. But
yeah, if you get to 100%, that puts yourself way too at risk there, because then you need to make enough money to live off of. It's like
right. It reminds me of the Laffer curve, where what is it? 0% unemployment is no good, and 100% unemployment is no good. Yeah. I forgot what the Laffer curve is. Something like that.
There's probably almost a point of diminishing returns here, where there's that curve where it's optimal in terms of what you sell and what you keep, versus if you go too far, it becomes a diminishing return. And if you don't do enough, it's not helpful.
We could just let the market decide. You know, investors will be smarter than us. Like people who are investing in these for a living in this asset class will know more than us what the right mix is for a person.
That's true. So over time, you'll get demand to move up to 8 or down, you know, or move down to 8 or move up to 18 or 12 or, you know.
Yeah, like if there's a lot of frauds at 30, it'll move down to 15 or whatever. All right, Tim. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Always happy to talk and learn. I always learn from you. Next time, come on and talk about Star Trek.
Yes. Yeah, we'll do that on the next go round.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.